They say that men can't multitask. I don't know how you do that, because you're really not relying on anybody except yourself, really. How do you remember to come in and know when you're going to come in? Is it just years of practice?
Yeah. That and kind of, certain songs lend themselves. I'll come over here a bit.
Yeah, hang on, let's come over there. Yeah.
Certain songs lend themselves to... That's better. Pull up a chair. To allow you to do a certain amount of... interpretation allows you to kind of like mix it up on the, and you know you have set time scales for things, so I have about 4 to 8 bars, and as long as I hit my first loop okay, then I'm kind of hanging in there and I'm doing all right, and that's sort of the main thing with it.
How did that start for you anyway? Where did the looping start?
Ah, there we go. The looping started for me. I out of my last band, when that kind of fell apart, I didn't have the heart to put together another group of people, and I didn't have the time. So I wanted to keep everything moving forward, and I was playing a lot of acoustic stuff out, and I'm big on the melodies and the harmonies, I just wanted the opportunity to do that. And ironically, in the last band, we were a three-piece punk rock band, so the only harmonies I got were in the background, you know. A friend of mine introduced me to a little blue loop pedal called the Jam Man and said, look, you should just back yourself up and do some vocals on here and get your head around doing your own live harmonies and stuff. And it started there, really, and then that had a tiny little input, a mini jack input for another instrument. So I used to plug my bass in as well.
Yeah.
And it just sort of all spun from there. And then I started to look into the technological side of it and to see how I could use the pedals and what different pedals offer different things. And before you know it, formulated this way of putting lots of instruments into a stereo loop so that I could pretty much construct songs out of anything.
It's so original. I can only think of one well-known artist who does anything like that, which is, I think it's Laura Marling that did a song Now and Then, or I can't remember what it's called now. Brilliant song and very cleverly done. But let me just go back to the Morenas. How successful were you before you collapsed
before we imploded?
Imploded, yeah.
We were very successful. Sometimes there are bands that are like a musician's band, and I think we, as a unit of musicians, one of the strong points was that we love to play music together and rehearsing. And the guys I was playing with were so technically able and so into their musical instrument that it enabled us to do a lot of interpretation of our tracks. So when we'd play live, we could take them anywhere. And after a certain amount of time working together, you know each other. So we had a lot of success with it in the sense that we backed up some big bands. We supported the likes of Radiohead. We supported the likes of, spot plays. We weren't on tour with them. We played the support. We were the band that were called at the last minute. We need you to come and fill this. We need you to come and fill that. And we got radio play on BBC and all the way up to Janice Long when she was doing her thing in London. And it got as far as it could kind of go, I think, and then we got to a point where we realised that most of the audiences we were pulling along were musicians, very difficult to play to an audience of musicians because they it's very
they're
studious. Like playing to your school teacher, and I think that just kind of took the love out of it for us. We weren't connecting on that level, and that's why that imploded. But we had great success. We were together for 5 years. We played. We recorded two good albums. Traveled all around the world playing music, and like I say, we were the get-to band. If such and such on a headline support, if their support had pulled out last minute, they called us because we could pull it off. And more so, it just didn't feel like it was going to get any further than that.
So you've been solo since that parting, and how's that gone?
When you're locked in the studio, I've got a studio at the bottom of my garden that I built, and it's my man cave. Friends called it my man cave. When you lock yourself in there when the band split up, I pretty much spent 2 years in there, what now? And I didn't want to formulate a band, and I didn't want to sort of go solo. I wanted to get those big sounding productions. I didn't want to go full technical and have loops that I was singing along to, because that just seemed like karaoke. This kind of fell along that road. And as I started to get my tunes out and put them through this and started to write new songs, it just kind of worked. So I fell into it. So this whole solo period has been, the first portion of it was kind of licking my wounds and figuring out what the hell I'm going to do next, And the second part of it was will this work? Is anyone going to buy it? Is this as good as I think it is, or am I just imagining things? And then this last sort of year and a bit, where I've hooked up with Martin, my manager, and we started to really push into the industry, and there is a massive market for this. It's the response has been phenomenal. We're anywhere we go, we get great response from the audiences. It's something no one yet has gone, oh yeah, I've seen that before. Everyone's kind of I've seen looping, but it's like your band didn't turn up and you've just gone, oh, I'm going to do it anyway, and somehow managed to play all the bits.
That's what got me. I just thought, this is just fantastic, the originality of it and the sound that you get. I'm just watching you there, it's incredible. Lisa, who's filming us today, hasn't got headphones on, so she couldn't hear what I'm hearing. She can only, which probably sounds quite strange.
It probably does, yeah.
but if you've got headphones on, you can hear all the sounds coming. It's brilliant. Was that song from you've got a brand new album out called The Mighty Small?
Yes, it's coming out.
It's coming out soon. Was that song from there?
Yeah, that's got a feature on there. The album of the concept behind The Mighty Small is quite an interesting one. Because of the way I've put together this album and my live show, what I wanted to do was to turn the songs over to other artists to do interpretations of from the very start. I'm big into my dance music and my remixes, and I have a lot of remix artists who work with us. And already
we did the first track, Oh Yeah, and we put that out just to get the feelers around. And we've had three remixes from LA. We've had a guy from London. We've got a guy from Berlin. We've got a guy from Dubai. So suddenly the song's gone international, and that's all been picked up by BBC Introducing, and they're running the remixes as well as the originals. So the concept is kind of working well. I'm like, oh, this is cool. So the album is, yeah, Let Me In is in there. It's the story of, I mean, it's my story, I suppose, the story of a singer-songwriter who is against all kind of odds and against better judgment, has just kept going doing something that he loves, and how that has affected the people in my life and my family and people I've worked with and where I am now. And it's told in music with the idea that hopefully that interpretation will produce another album based on remixes, based on the original. So it's going really well.
Good. Right. I'm keen to work you hard because I want to get as much live music in as possible. So I'm going to play a couple of commercials and you can set up for your next one, please. Right. Okay. Back in a moment after we've heard these.
A major crisis is at St. Francis Hospice. High winds and heavy rain have damaged the buildings. Money budgeted for patient care can't be used. To support the Hospice Storm Damage Emergency Appeal and give £30 or whatever you can afford. They still need to provide care and support, so this is urgent. Please go to sfh.org.uk or call 01708 723 593. St. Francis Hospice, proud of the past and dedicated to the future.
What's happening in Brentwood? Where are those police vans going? When will those roadworks ever end? Will we ever get a new cinema on that site? Most local news doesn't appear on TV, online, or in the national press. For that, you need a quality local newspaper. The Brentwood Gazette, full of features, stories, events, tweets, listings, and all the things important to you. The Brentwood Gazette is written for Brentwood people and read by 54,000 residents every week. The Brentwood Gazette. For news and views you won't find anywhere else.
Back once again like the Renegade Master. The Society of Old Brentwoods is opening its doors to you on February the 28th for another Phoenix Friday. This month featuring the beautiful Loretta, Philip Marino, Ryan Green, and the greatest ukulele band this side of anywhere. Dukes. Bring 10 of your English pounds with you to get in, and the first drinks on the Pint Glass Company, official sponsors of Phoenix Fridays. Doors at 7:30. See you there.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Here we go, then. Another number from Paolo.
Saturday night,
Just see how busy the man is in the studio now. Well, you can. We've got our webcam on. You can see, if you go on to phoenixfm.com, you can see Paolo performing live in the studio right now. Right, we're going to take a quick break for news headlines, come back with a new, the first track from that new album that's being done in the studio, and then we'll have more chat and more music live here in the studio on the Phoenix FM. It's 28 minutes past one, time for these.
Hitting the headlines first for your area. This is Phoenix FM.
These are the top stories at 1:30. A 4.5-year jail sentence given to a man who killed a cyclist with a single punch could be referred to the Court of Appeal for being unduly lenient. 40-year-old Andrew Young was hit in Bournemouth in November by 20-year-old Lewis Gill, who pleaded guilty to manslaughter. Northern Ireland First Minister Peter Robinson has indicated he is prepared to resign unless there's a judicial inquiry into the collapse of the John Downey case. A serious case review into the death of a toddler killed by her father has found nobody raised concerns about the child's safety, even though the Grenadier Guardsman had warned she may come to harm. Liam Culverhouse, who returned from serving in Afghanistan, was jailed for 6 years for causing the death of 19-month-old Chloe. David Cameron has been accused by Labour of using phony figures on flood defences. The National Statistics Watchdog says government spending has fallen since the coalition came to power, but the PM standing by his claim that spending's gone up. A couple in California have made an unexpected discovery which could turn them into multi-millionaires. While walking their dog, they unearthed a stash of gold coins buried on their land, which may be worth up to $10 million.
This is Phoenix FM.
Right, hopefully if I press this button here, we should get the brand new track from Paolo. And this is called Catherine's Undone.
Like the whole spun. The thread that she's hanging by isn't that strong, but it's taking the strain.
That is the brand new single, not released yet. That's on the brand new album, which is, again, not released yet. That's Catherine's Undone. Who was Catherine, and why was she undone, Paolo?
Oh, that's a... Catherine is my other half, and the song really, I suppose, is a tune about what our other halves go through, are musicians and artists' other halves in general.
Okay.
And that's what it was based on, really.
How difficult has this album been to put together?
It's been a real challenge because it's kind of like bringing together a lot of material from the last 7, 8, 9 years and stuff that I never thought would get a chance to get out. I get out of the box, you know, because the genres and the styles have been so different.
Yeah. Yeah.
But under this persona of the Mighty Small and what I do with the looping when I present the songs live on stage, it's enabled me to do a lot more and gives me the scope to play any kind of style that I want because the vocal is the consistent thread throughout the songs. Mm-hmm. So we start on the album, which is very different. The album isn't a looping album. The album is the songs in their entirety as I hear them. The live show is a looping show, and therein is the kind of like Mighty Small concept where you have a different concept for each of the songs when they're being presented. So the album starts acoustically, vocally, very, very organically, and as we build through it and as I build through my career and it shows in there, the songs that mean a lot to me build through the story of somebody trying to get to break the big time, somebody trying to get in, get noticed, and only to realise that actually it's not really about breaking anywhere apart from breaking yourself. And by the end of the album, we end up on a tune which is called You Make Me Feel Electric, which is me doing the looping on a digital domain. So it turns into a dance mix, and suddenly, I mean, this is the great thing. I start on stage with my show acoustically, and that builds, and everyone gets into that. We go through to a full-blown band setup where I'm playing all the instruments, and we've got your kind of indie rock, your sort of soul, your blues, that kind of stuff. Then we get to the dance stuff at the end where I drop a beat and loop over that with instruments, and that's just perhaps the most cathartic thing to do. It's wonderful. Because I cover all genres, all my favourite genres. I start on the acoustic songwriter, singer-songwriter, do the big band, end up in the dance vein, and everyone's joining around and dancing, and I leave the DJ an easy cut, if you like. So he cuts in, and the whole thing feels really neat and tidy.
And the whole thing, to me, so the way you're talking about it, is that you really enjoyed it. It might have been hard in places, but you really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And you as an artist, I mean, you've had, as you were explaining earlier about the Marinas, and you had some really good success, really,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, we were with some great people.
And, you know, you've started again on your own, and, you know, so you've got experience on the road, because it is a difficult road.
Absolutely.
And what do you think of the state of the British music industry at the moment? Because it must be good at the moment. You've got artists like Jake Bugg and Tom Adele, who you know, and Ben Howard, who have made it, who are, you know, proper instrument-playing musicians. They're not manufactured. They're not the, dare I say, you know, One Direction. I'm not being nasty to One Direction, but that sort of, you know, the X Factor stuff. Mm-hmm. It must be good for you to see stuff like that happening.
Yeah, I think you know, the industry. You got to bear in mind the X Factor stuff and the Saturday Night stuff that goes on is a great vehicle for people who want to get into the entertainment industry, regardless of how you look at it. You know, it's a very easy format to get into, and it's something that works for Simon Cowell and psycho management and that kind of stuff that they do, and that's fantastic. I don't think that has a detrimental effect, or as detrimental an effect as people like to think it does on the main industry. Yeah. I think the internet has affected the music industry, because with streaming and very little licensing on the digital domain, people can get hold of anything whenever they want. It's nice to see good bands breaking through. I think that's always been the case. I think every 7 to 10 years we have an underground scene that throws up a new genre of artists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I suppose you could argue that I'm hedging my bets with looping and solo artists taking things to that nth degree as being the next kind of, not next big genre, because it's already happening. But you see it in the dance arena a lot with lots of different bands. You don't see it so much in the in the pop industry, because you want people to play instruments. But I think, yeah, we're sort of crossing boundaries.
If, here's a different question. If the X Factor producers rang you up, because that's how it does work, that rang up and said, "Pano, we've seen you on YouTube. We think you'd be really good for the X Factor. Come along." What would you say?
They have.
Oh, they have. Right. Okay.
And so is the voice. And where communication breaks down is they don't know where to put me and how to present it. It's kind of like there's. From what I can gather, talking from the last conversation we had, and I have a good friend actually who has just got through to the Voice, the French version of the Voice, Najwa. She's doing fantastically well there. But yeah, they don't know where to put me. I mean, it's kind of like the one suggestion is just come off the instruments, play acoustic guitar, and sing because you've got a great voice. But then the other side of it is, but this is incredibly original and different.
Yeah.
Britain's Got Talent. Oh, I don't know, you know, because it's just no one can get past that thing, and I'm quite happy with that. You know, because I don't have to turn around and say, no, actually, I'm not interested. I can leave them stewing over the problem themselves and just get on with what I'm doing, by which time hopefully it won't make any difference anyway, because I'll be doing my own thing as I am, and I'll have the backing I need to do what the music the way I want to do it. But
okay, let's just quickly talk about influences, because I want you to play again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And B, you're threatening me with him.
Yeah, we've got to do our...
And we've got to have a go as well, yeah.
Our organic thing.
Yes, okay, so influences free for
range.
You.
Influences for me, I love classical music. My passion for music started back then when my grandfather, I lived with my grandfather for a while, always in big classical music. Moving on from there, it's got to be anything 50s and 60s, really anything. There isn't really much 50s and 60s music that I don't love. You know, there's so much going on in every genre. If you want to pick out names, my favourites would be Sam Cooke, is a big producer, singer-songwriter that I love. He did so many great tunes. Anything from the Marshall Scholes studio, which they pretty much wrote the book on the incredible singles they recorded of Aretha Franklin's Think. They took artists when labels didn't know what to do with artists and made the records that we now base our history on, you know, the great records. So Muscle Shoals, if you get a chance to check out that studio, it's a little studio in southern Alabama. That's where a lot of those great records were produced. Moving into the 80s, because I was a child of the 80s, so I think you got your GNR. Early Guns N' Roses, not the usual illusion stuff, you know. That's just going back for money, right? But,
yeah.
But the first two albums, absolutely fantastic. And you know, the whole glam rock and that kind of stuff. I grew up with, big fan of the Seattle scene as well. So, you know, I was a massive lover of Pearl Jam. You know, they could do no wrong in my books, as Nirvana, Mudhoney, those kind of bands. I just felt like they were dirty and able to be who they wanted to be, and people were still digging it because of this sheer awesome power. And that's something that I've always wanted to get in with my music, is I love the fact that I can stand up in amongst them. I've got a metal band before me and I've got a hard rock band after me, and I can still hold my own with my sound and with what I'm doing. And if there was a blind man in the audience and nobody told him that there was a one dude, I don't think he'd pick up on it, you know what I mean?
No.
That has always been something that was really important for me. I suppose I come from a family where I've got three brothers and two sisters and six kids, right? We had to make a noise to be seen. So anything that makes a noise. So, yeah, that leans me to that kind of big sound stuff. Trying to think of anybody else. Like Paul Simon as a songwriter, Zeppelin, because of, you know, if you don't like Zeppelin...
What's wrong with you? Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Right, I want you to make some more music for us. I'm going to play a quick commercial while we set up,
cool.
And then back with your third and last tune from you, and then there's going to be one from me, apparently.
Then we're going to do some organic candy free-range stuff, aren't we? We're going to have a laugh and see what we can do after that. Okay, cool.
I don't know what you're letting yourself in for.
Join me, Mel Watson, every Wednesday evening, 7 till 8 on Phoenix 98 FM. Each week, I'll be chatting to an expert about how you can change your body for the better. From cosmetic surgery to karate, from Reiki to reflexology, whether it's an alternative therapy or doctor's advice you need, you'll find it all in Body Talk, the show that could change your life. brought to you in association with Spire Hartswood Hospital.
Hey, have you seen what's going on at the White Horse, Coxty Green Road, Brentwood? Apart from having 10 real ales on draft and a great menu, they hold quiz nights, live band and comedy nights, open mic nights and much, much more. Larger events are staged in the White Horse Marquee throughout the year. Check the events guide at phoenixfm.com for details or phone Brentwood 372 410 for details and bookings. For a great night out, it's the White Horse, of course.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Right, with another number. This, live on air, is Paolo Moreno.
Maybe I'm just one big tragedy, waiting to unfold, wrapped up so tightly, I can't breathe. And I've been walking blind, worn out these souls, just looking for a connection or a little soul relief. My time had passed, my chance had gone. Then I saw Then I saw the light on, light gonna guide me along, gonna guide me along. Darling, I'll be your guiding star, light in the dark. Gentle hands can mend a broken heart. And when my heart beats to your rhythm, resounds in the deep, sweet song to bring you home to me. But my time had passed, my chance had gone. Then I saw the light on, then I saw. Thank you. soledad. Guiding me home.
Wow. I think that deserves a round of applause. And then from everybody in it, we've got lots of people in the studio this afternoon. Where did they come from? Crept in behind you. Absolutely excellent. And that was from the heart. I could see that was from the heart.
Guiding me home.
Really good. Right, are you sure you want to do this?
I think we should have a go.
Right, okay. Right, I don't
can
know.
You can hear my instruments through your headphones.
Yeah,
we need
to
set headphones out front here. We're just for everybody who can't see this yet.
Yeah.
We're dragging Mike from behind the board. Yeah, he's going to play a bit of guitar. I'm going to try and loop his guitar, which is just going to drive him mad. But as long as he can hear himself, we might be all right. So here we go. I'm just going to swap over now. Going to see what we can build around. Are you comfortable with that guitar? You can hear yourself, yeah?
A bit slower. What am I doing, Tony?
Yeah, you're doing right. Really good, mate. You're doing really good.
How about that?
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah?
Yeah, give him a round of applause. That sounded really good. Really good.
Awesome, back, and we're making up on the spot. Come on, get the guy a break. Brilliant.
Thank you very much. Yes,
there we are.
Yes.
Live looping.
X Factor, yes. Right, okay, we've just got a few minutes left then before we go. Right, so what's next for you? The album's coming out in June, isn't it? Hopefully.
Yeah.
Martin,
sorry,
around June?
It's crazy here. It's crazy. It's all going crazy. Yeah, June, July is the time that we're set for the album. Like I said, we're in the studio at the moment. When you're in the studio recording things, your label and your manager are going, right, so June, July then, right? And your engineer's going, fucking August, September. And you're in the middle going, you know, somewhere in between would be fantastic, please. So we're doing that. We've got some gigs coming up. I'm at the Hoxton Underbelly on Thursday.
Right,
tomorrow night. That's going to be good. 8 p.m. We're there. We're at in Dartford on the 6th. We're in Southend on the 29th.
And I know that you're back in Brentwood, but I'm not allowed to say when because it's
no,
a big
you're not.
Secret.
It's all a massive secret.
Secret.
It's all a massive
yeah.
secret. We're planning like the ultimate. Or mm. I say we. That's the royal we. I'm turning up and playing the ultimate show. So more about that on Phoenix. Stay tuned for that. That's
absolutely,
awesome.
Mate. It's been an absolute pleasure. I love what you do. I wish you the best of success because I just love the originality.
Thank you very much.
And yes, I love the songs.
Thank you.
You know, even even if you were, you know, a five-piece band, I love the music anyway.
It would be a lot more cramped in here if I was.
I hope perhaps when that secret gig is a little bit nearer, maybe we can do this again.
Yeah, let's do something.
That'd be good. Should we do that again?
Yeah, we'll rehearse our loopy thing next time.
Seriously don't want me.
I was talking about me, actually. You're right.
Paolo, Martin, thank you very much for coming in today. And we look forward to, in the near future.
Thank you very much, Phoenix listeners. Okay. Appreciate it.
Bye bye now.
Bye bye.